I was doing some research on good old Goshen recently. This is 2006 data from the FBI crime reports. And in 2006, right here in Goshen, two people were murdered. 18 women were raped. There were 22 robberies, 35 aggravated assaults. We had almost 200 burglaries. We had over 1,000 thefts. Over 55 people had their cars stolen, 10 arsons. And this is just what the police report to us. The reality is that we've just built an even bigger jail because the old one wasn't big enough to house all of the people who were in it. And I found out the other day there's a crack house just a couple blocks away from where I live, which is just a couple blocks away from where we're sitting right now. Like, this is Goshen. The reality is that we live in a sin-sick world, and it wasn't supposed to be this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made man and woman in his image, and he put them in a garden paradise, and he let them run free, and he gave them dominion over all the earth, and he blessed them to be fruitful and multiply. You know, not a bad setup, right? But you know the story. Adam and Eve were given the choice to either walk with God or walk away from God, and they chose poorly. They listened to the serpent, they took the fruit, and we are still living with the consequences of their decision. But I think if we were to get honest with ourselves for a moment this morning, I think we could all admit we can somewhat relate to their story. In some ways, their story is our story. Yeah. That God has given us this choice to either pursue him and be in a relationship with him or go our own way and do our own thing. And many of us have chosen the latter. We've chosen to walk our own way, to live our own life. And so some of us have never made that commitment to follow Jesus. Others have said the sinner's prayer, and they've been in church for years, yet there's something dead inside. There's something missing, and they know it's not the way they were meant to live. So this morning, we are going to be looking at, we're going to be hearing three stories from three individuals here in our community who can relate to the struggle of living in a world that has been wrecked by sin. And so we invite you to listen in and watch the first half of their stories now.
Yeah, I started using drugs and alcohol at a young age, about 14, and continued to use them into my teenager years. And I got married to my first wife when I was young, and I abused alcohol and drugs real bad, and it strayed me away from the family, and I cheated on her, and you know, just basically put my drug and alcohol before my family, and then I started getting in trouble with the law, and you know, I was getting put in jail, and I spent probably 4 years or so in jail, off and on, you know, and that just like really hit home with my family, and so it caused a divorce in that relationship, and I learned blowing the relationship with my kid.
About 2 years ago, my hope had died due to wrong decisions, wrong choices that I had made. And I was feeling an overwhelming sense of rejection, of being unloved. And at this particular time in winter, I was $2,000 in debt, and I had a certain criteria I had to meet, deadline, in order to meet that $2,000. And I didn't know where the $2,000 were coming from. And there was just a lot of feelings of rejection and feeling like I was unwanted, and the depression was overwhelming at this time, and I just didn't know how to move. I couldn't get going, and I felt stuck and trapped. And the feelings of all the lies that I've heard all my life, that I was being rejected, that I was unwanted, I was not being loved, overwhelmed me.
About 8 years ago, I was at a point in my life when I was really, really busy. I was doing a lot of different things in the church. I was in a perpetual activity of preparing for a meeting or an event. And it was right around that time when I had gotten really, really busy with doing all these good things that I thought I was supposed to be doing, that it became apparent that Steve was going to be changing careers. And there was just a lot of stuff stirring around in the home because of that. And both for the boys and for me and Steve and, well, whole family dynamics, everything was changing. And at the same time, there were a lot of changes happening at the church. Support systems were changing. And it was really difficult for me. So there were a lot of changes happening at the same time when I was really busy. And I didn't have time to stop and be able to process my own emotions about everything that was happening. And so it became more and more difficult to deal with all these things that were happening. If things didn't go real smoothly, I would fall apart. Either bursts of anger or just depths of despair and not knowing how to handle it.
When I lost my family, I just felt sorry for myself and hopelessness, and struggled with that. And then I met my second wife, which she was had an addiction too with drugs and alcohol. And then I thought, hey, this is a life now. I've got somebody to share something in common with me. And shortly into it, it kind of unfolded back at me what I'd done in my first relationship with my first wife, and she cheated on me and done all the things that I did to my first wife. And so, needless to say, that ended that relationship in a divorce. And then it just made me really think, it's like a breaking point where I just start crying out for help, asking, God to help me.
One day, I was sitting down at my couch, and I was just at the end of my rope, and I wanted to just end it all. And there's two bottles of pills, and I was getting ready to reach for him. I had already written out the suicide note and everything. I had it all planned. And I couldn't. I felt God and was just told me in my head, Carol, get up and go to bed. So I got up and went to bed. The next morning, I woke up and I felt the Lord told me to go call my two sisters to help me pay the bill. Well, when I did that, I felt okay, I felt comfortable in doing that, and they helped me.
And finally, one morning, the boys were having a little squabble at the breakfast table, and I lost it. I had to walk outside, and where I knew Steve was outside in the garage, and I just said, I can't do it. I can't cope anymore with life. I cannot deal with anything. This is it. You've got to go in there and take care of the boys and get them off to school. I'm out. And fortunately, at that point in time, I had started seeing a counselor. And that week when I went to see him, I think it was just a day or two after that happened, fortunately, he gently led me to see how I was really dealing with fairly major depression. And that he looked at me and he told me, Bonnie, I'll never forget this, Bonnie, it seems like you don't even know your own heart anymore. I didn't know how to answer his questions. I didn't know anything. All I could do was cry. I just sat there and cried. And that was pretty much my life back then. Almost anything would make me cry.
So we'll pick up on that a little bit later. I know I'm the one up here doing the preaching this morning, but I would be a liar if I said I could not relate to this struggle living in a fallen world, the reality of. I was raised in the church, grew up in Sunday school, actually had a call to ministry on my life from an early age, knew all the Bible stories, all that stuff, which is all good. But that didn't mean I was immune from making bad decisions. There was a season in my life in which I really wrestled with pornography. There was a season in my life in which I really struggled with doubt. Even as I was preaching sermons, like, is God real? Is any of this real? There was a time in my life in which I was just incredibly bitter and angry. And I can remember saying and doing hurtful things to people and still regretting that to the day. I could go on and on. This is the reality. Born in the church, Christian, yet still struggling. How does that work? If you stay in your sin long enough, I really believe that one of the things that starts happening is that your heart starts to get hardened. You don't feel the way you're supposed to feel. You don't love people the way you want to love. You can't even, like Bonnie said, you can't even find your own heart. You don't even know where your heart is. So I recently went through a season. I spent the last couple years in Georgia. And I went through a season in which God showed me that there are some things in me that had died that I didn't even know were dead. Music, creativity, writing, joy, like this, just like the life had been sucked out of me. And I can remember just like having nothing, like just waking up with nothing to give. It was rough. And kind of out of like crying out to God in that season, he led me to a Christian counselor. And I spent months like literally just like pouring out my heart and walking in and like what's going on with this, and I kind of made a deal with myself when I walked in every time that every time I walk into this office I'm gonna practice full disclosure, like no secrets, like if she asks a question I answer it fully. And I can't even begin to tell you, I mean I didn't always do that perfectly, but I can't even begin to tell you how freeing that is to have, like, to be in a place where you don't have any secrets in your life, where there's nothing that's hidden, where everything's brought out into the light. And it was cool, because, like, God was actually taking me out of the darkness into the light. He was revealing strongholds in my life that I didn't even know were there. He was, like, breaking lies that I was believing about myself. And it was a phenomenal time. I had coffee with a couple friends recently, and we were just sharing, laughing, having a good time, talking about what was going on. We hadn't talked in years, and one of them, just like in like mid-conversation, he just stopped me. He's like, "Dude, what happened?" And I was like, "What do you mean, what happened?" He's like, "I used to have to cry you open with a pro bar if I wanted to get something out of you, and like here you are sharing your story about what God's done in your life and what He's teaching you and what you're learning and." It's like, what happened? And I'll tell you what I told him. God happened. Like, God happened to me. God healed my heart. God has brought me out of the darkness into His light. So one of the cool things that kind of God did for me is that I've always had a love for music, but that was something that I had lost over the years. And so... I started just spending some time in prayer, and I was staying with some people who had this big old garage, and it had this great echo in it. And so I would go in there sometimes, and I would just sing. I would just start singing, and I would pray. And kind of out of that, like I started writing songs. Like God started giving me music, and it was weird because I had a friend who was like a music major, and he was like that was his deal. He wrote songs and taught lessons, and I would like bring him all these songs, and he's like, "What's going on with you? Like, I'll have to like labor for weeks over a song sometimes, and you're just bringing them." I don't know. It's God. Like, I would just sit down, and He'd give me music. Amazing. I mean, it's just amazing for my heart. So I wanted to share one of those with you, and it's nothing really like fancy. It's really simple, but just to as an example to you. Some of the things that God has been doing to me. So, let me get this going. All right.
After struggling, crying out to God and asking Him, you know, to help me with my life and just put a purpose and hope in my life. And then a short time afterwards, I met Jesse, and we struggled. Well, I gave a line that I was all this, you know, what I wanted to be, and that's how I presented myself to Jesse. And then a short time in our relationship, you know, Jesse found out like the real truth of me, that I was a drug and alcoholic. Like, Jesse like said, we need to, you know, go to church or we're not, you know, this relationship's over. So, and I was like, you know, and I seen that God, this is, you know, is a hope that God put over in my life for this reason. So I was like, you know, I reached out, we started adventuring in the church, and then we was introduced to LifeSpring, and it was like, you know, I just felt the presence of God since we walked in, and as God was moving through people. And
so after about 6 months of being on antidepressants, I started being able to deal with emotions again. I really felt like I needed to continue to allow God to do some really deep internal work, because I didn't want to stay where I was at, and I didn't want to live my life on my own for myself. I didn't want to continue to rely on other people's opinions, to please other people, to be confused about what I really should be doing or not. I wanted to be able to hear God's voice, truly, to hear God's voice for myself, and to be able to live my life in the way that He wanted me to live. And so through the years, it took time. And sometimes I felt like it was never gonna end. There's a lot of pride, a lot of judgmental attitudes that I needed to lay down. and to be able to humbly ask for forgiveness in places that I really needed to, and to be able to receive forgiveness as well. You know, it's wonderful when it can be that two-way street. And then restoration of relationships can begin to happen.
At this time, I realized I needed to learn how to reach out to people because the depression was so overwhelming. And after that, there was a turning point to where I needed to reach out to people. And it was like God brought another association into my life. Counseling sessions were through a program that I was involved with, helped me walk through and be set free from the lies of what I felt all my life that the enemy had said, the two lies, and that I was unworthy and that I was unloved. And through this counseling session, I was able to walk through them. And to this day, I have been set free from them because of the love of people and because of going through this counseling session. And also, today I'm also involved with our home group program and also with our men praying and get connected to that. So there is hope and that God has brought me back to life again.
We was introduced to Encounter Weekend, and so I was real nervous and I didn't want to jump too deep in the church right at first, but so I signed up for this Encounter and went to Encounter, and this is like a big turning point where God opened my eyes, and it was like, wow, you know, I didn't know this stuff was in me, you know, that, and they just helped me bring it out, and I mean, it was just all God was working with me. He just let me spew it out, and I just felt Him, you know, His love come into me, and now it's like, you know, I got a family that I always dreamed of, and you know, hope's there for, you know, and I don't need the addiction of drug and alcohol. It's an addiction for God now. And I mean, it's just my family with the kids and stuff is just so much better, as you know, we live for God now, and it's just awesome.
One of the things that God taught me was this is my unique journey with Him, and that I needed to be able to learn to hear His voice clearly on my own. And that I needed to be free to be able to respond in obedience to Him and what He wanted me to do. And that was the only way that I would get to what He had uniquely called me to be about doing in life. As I've come through this time of allowing God to hammer on me, allowing the fire of God to burn, and allowing Him to stick me in mud for a while, and you know, it's as I look back, I wouldn't change a thing, because I learned so much about God's love and His grace and His mercy for me, and how much He wants me to live my story, my life, and He wants to take my hand and walk with me and show me what it is He wants me to do that would fulfill my heart as well as express His heart to those around me.
I had to learn to see that light, and sometimes that light was just His love and knowing that He was there in the midst of the darkness, an overwhelming sense of darkness, of feeling unloved, and that overwhelming sense, He was my hope, He was my resurrection.
Definitely hope, because I didn't have none of that before. And I come to God, so.
There's a verse. I went back to it and prayed it over myself so many, many hundreds of times, I'm sure, over the last few years. It's Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. It says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And you know what? That's what He did for me. He raised me from the dead.
Amen.
Well, in just a moment here, we are going to give you an opportunity to write your own resurrection story. If you'll open up your bulletins, you'll see there's an insert in there for you. You can just get that out now. And we're just going to create some space for the Holy Spirit to work, for you to jot down what God's doing in your life, what He's done, where He's brought you. You know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you are thinking to yourself, I don't have a resurrection story. You know, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never made that commitment to follow Him. And you know, if that's you this morning, this is your time. Like, this is a divine time for you. This is appointed before the foundations of the earth were laid for you to come and begin a relationship with Christ. You know, maybe you say, I gave my life to Christ once, but I've fallen away. I'm not walking with Him the way I want to anymore. This is your time. It's your time this morning. And so, Sandy, if you would just come up and begin playing. And we're just going to invite the elder team to come forward as well. And we're just going to create space. For those of you who want to write, you can write. If you sense that God is stirring in your heart, that this morning is the time for you to begin a relationship with Him, to commit your life to Him, we invite you to come forward. You know, there's a myth floating around that says somehow we have to get right to come to God. And in reality, you don't have to get right to come to God. You come to God to get right. And so that's what we're all about. That's what He's all about. And so, Sandy, if you want to go ahead and just start playing. And yeah, so go ahead and let me just commit this time to prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the way that You are at work resurrecting lives. And we want to give this time to You. Lord, some of us here are far from You. Lord, some of us here once knew You, and now there's a distance there. God, we invite You to move in our midst, to draw us close to You. God, we invite You to write our resurrection story. You know, there's a scripture I wanted to share with you. And Daniel, if you throw that up on the screen. This is in Romans, and it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. What does any of this have to do with Easter? This has everything to do with Easter, because Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. The resurrection life is available to us now. His death is our death. His life is our life. And so that's what He invites us into this morning. So go ahead and begin writing. If you'd like to come forward, we have the elders up here. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like to make a new commitment or a recommitment, now's the time to do that. Thank you.
could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none. There is none. There is none like you.
Our morning offering this morning. And if you've got that tear out card, you can throw that in there so the ushers can come and get that. And I think Brenda has an announcement. And choir, you can come on up while Brenda is sharing. There will be a DVD announcement. I don't know, is Brenda also sharing with that? Yes.
Well, I don't know if I look like Superwoman or what, or whoever I'm supposed to be, but I think I got your attention. And we would like to just get you a little bit updated on some of the new exciting things that are coming to Children's Church starting next Sunday. So that was to kind of give you a little bit of an idea. We are going to use the theme called Superheroes, Superstars. Kids have just are bombarded with, you know, all these superheroes, superstars, and some of them are good, some of them are not so good. So we thought that we would use that in a way that really connects with kids, but teach them what does it mean to be a superhero. Who's our ultimate superhero, of course, is Jesus. And then how can they become superheroes? And how then can they even learn what, you know, what God has for them? We want to help them unpack some of the gifts that God has for them, some of the talents that he has given them, and then how they can use that to change the world and be this real superheroes. So it's exciting stuff. It is life-change stuff. So we really want to encourage you guys, if you have kids in grades 1 through 5, I would really just ask you, do your best to get them here. This is something I really think they are not going to want to miss. This is not just ordinary church, children's church. This is really awesome stuff. Also, if you're a kid and you've maybe come upstairs some, I would like, if you're in that age group, if you think, oh man, this looks like neat stuff, I would really challenge you too to check it out. We really miss you when you're not down there, but even for the next 9 weeks, is going to be, that's what our theme is going to be. So I would ask you to consider coming back and joining us for that time. Also, in your bulletin should have been a little card, a little superhero card here. And I really want to challenge each one of you not to take this home and put it on your pile that you go through once a year, but to put it somewhere where you can see it, and you will give this to some kid or some family that doesn't go to church. And think about it. If everybody in this room did that, man, we could be packed out on Sunday, okay? So I really, really encourage you, find someone that you can give that card to. If you need more cards, you can get more at the office. So let them know. Also, I really would just ask all of you, too, to pray for us. If you could just even pray 1 minute a day. Again, think about all the minutes if we all do that. Pray for us as leaders. Pray for the children. Pray that kids would be able to be there. This is too good to miss. All right? Thank you.
Big hand for that great cartoon. We'd like to share a last song with you, and this will be the last thing we do. And be prepared. We might ask you to sing.
Oh,
us on that, and take up your cross this week. If you met him for the first time, you've got a wonderful road ahead, a hard but very good, wonderful road. And please visit us again. You go with our blessing, and let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless this body of believers, everyone who is joined together today. Fill us with your wisdom, your strength, everything that you've promised us in your word. May we go out and be a light so that we can help others to come from darkness into light.